This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show, 60 minutes of old-time radio drama, brought to you every Tuesday by RelicRadio.com. First story this week comes from the Hallmark Playhouse. We'll hear O'Halloran's Luck, their story from October 28, 1948. After that, it's the Screen Guild Theater and Torrid Zone from January 25th, 1942.
Remember, a Hallmark card when you care enough to send the very best. Tonight, from Hollywood, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you Edmund O'Brien in Stephen Vincent Benet's O'Halloran's Luck on the Hallmark Playhouse. Each week, Hallmark will bring you Hollywood's greatest stars in outstanding stories chosen by one of the world's best-known authors, the distinguished novelist, Mr. James Hilton.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is James Hilton. Tonight on our Hallmark Playhouse, we take pride in presenting a story by one of America's most distinguished writers, Stephen Vincent Benet, whose death at the early age of 45 was a tragic loss to our time. Already, however, he had written several stories which have earned for him an honored place in the history as well as the literature of America. For Benet wrote with deep feeling about the growth and greatness of the nation, and it is his interpretation of the virile threads that made the pattern of America which give his stories their distinctive flavor. He loved to write about the plain people of America, their day-to-day deeds, and their heroes. Tonight we have chosen a story called O'Halloran's Luck, in which the atmosphere of old Boston and the expanding West are happily combined. And another thing that is particularly appropriate for us to remind ourselves is that Benet was one of the first American writers to write directly for the radio, and some of his contributions to this medium have made radio history. Well, we're now about ready to start, and we're privileged to present Edmund O'Brien as O'Halloran. Frank Goss, will you take over for a moment, please?
Thank you, Mr. Hilton. Ladies and gentlemen, for a Christmas greeting your friends will long remember, make your selections now from the complete Hallmark collection on display at the friendly store where you buy Hallmark cards. Whatever your taste, whatever your budget, you'll take special pride in sending Hallmark cards. And on the back of every one is the identifying Hallmark that says, you cared enough to send the very best.
Hallmark Playhouse, starring Edmund O'Brien in Stephen Vincent Benet's O'Halloran's Luck.
Tim O'Halloran was my grandfather. To Boston he came by steerage, just after the middle of the last century, a farm boy in his early 20s, braving the Atlantic to come to the new world to regain the long-lost O'Halloran luck and make Kitty Malone his wife. As the shore of Boston came in sight, and then its streets and houses, Tim wondered which of the precious buildings held his darling Kitty.
Our Kitty has a fine talent.
Yeah, she was never meant to be a servant girl.
Married to Mr. Boyle, she won't be. He's got money in the bank.
God willing, it'll be a fine match, old Kitty and Mr. Boyle. Come in.
You! What brings you here?
Tim O'Halloran.
It's me, all right, Tim O'Halloran. Only 2 hours off the boat and straight to the Malones I came.
You shouldn't have barged in like this.
But Mrs. Malone, sure, I've crossed the great ocean to have Kitty for me wife.
Your wife?
Our old Kitty.
Of course. Since we were children, back in Clonmelly, everyone knew we were for one another.
Of all the brazen devils. You, Tim O'Halloran, without so much as a penny to your name or a job talking about marriage.
Tim O'Halloran.
Oh, Kitty. Kitty at last.
Tim.
Kitty Malone, have you no shame? And with your intended Mr. Boyle sitting in the parlor.
Show him to me, Kitty. I'll toss him to the street.
Not so fast, me buckle.
Father, please, let me talk to Tim alone.
That you may do, Kitty. So long as you tell O'Halloran straight out, you've got a chance to marry Mr. Boyle and end your days of slaving as a house servant on Beacon Street. Come along.
Don't look at me like that, Tim. It's they who want I should marry Mr. Boyle.
But you, I don't understand. A servant girl? Slaving with mop and bucket in the new world?
It's true. I'm a maid servant. The new country isn't like what they said back in Clonmilly. There's work to do. Hard work.
Work? People work here in America? Sure, didn't the sexton of the parish home tell us the streets of Boston were paved with gold and riches were to be had for the asking?
They were wrong, Tim. There's no gold here without work.
Then you mean a man must have a job?
Aye, a job, Tim. But there's lots of work, darling.
And if that's the case with you here in Boston,
but
I'll
go... there are no jobs in Boston, Tim. You'll have to go to the prairies.
The prairies?
Out on the prairies, them that's building the railroads is hungry for strong Irish arms.
And leave you here with Mr. Boyle?
I'll wait for you, Tim O'Halloran. I promise. You'll find O'Halloran's luck out there and come back for me.
O'Halloran's luck. It may be hiding out there in the prairie. You'll wait, Kitty?
I'll wait, Tim. I promise you.
I'll go then, Kitty, to the prairie for a job building the railroads.
Goodbye, Tim, darling. I'll pray for you.
I'll be back for you, Kitty, dear. When I find O'Halloran's luck.
Steal up ahead! Steal up ahead!
Will you tell me, tell you still? It's work all day for sugar and your pay. Down behind the railway and in Italian's trill.
And blast! And fire!
O'Halloran!
O'Halloran! O'Toole, the foreman's wanting you!
They're crying for rails up ahead, O'Halloran! Come on, get him over on you!
A man's got but one back and two arms, O'Toole!
If you'd not be wasting your strength fighting all day and dreaming of Boston and Kitty Malone all night, there still be the place!
Ah, you slave-driving Kerry bog-trotter!
I'll show you!
Oh, you will, will you? Come up to me, I dare
you! Go right back, O'Halloran, or you'll never find your luck!
Break it up! Break it up!
The engineer, beat it, Tim. He's coming.
You, O'Halloran, fighting again. That'll cost you one day's pay. And the next time it's back to Boston you go. Now get to work.
Steal! Steal up ahead!
Come on, O'Halloran. It's cards we're playing. How many?
Oh, he's dreaming of Kitty Malone.
And so I am, O'Toole. To get the misery of the freezing prairie out of me brain. I've squandered a year of my life in this murderous prairie, lugging rails. And what have I got to show for it? Give me three cards and I'm raising you $10.
I'll see you.
That's $34 you're betting, O'Halloran.
Three queens. McGinnis?
Kings, O'Halloran. Four fat kings.
I told you, Tim. You'll never get back to Boston now.
Tonight I know it's true. O'Halloran's luck will never be found. I'm walking back to camp.
Walking? Well, you'll freeze to death.
And what if I do freeze? There'll be no more torturing thoughts at night and breaking my back by day.
Poor O'Halloran. The black Irish mood comes over him when he's wanting Kitty Malone.
Tim O'Halloran, you're a fool of a man, for all your strong back and arms. Not all the pookas, banshees, and leprechauns of Ireland could find your luck for you here, you idiot. And Kitty'll not wait forever.
Come in the rock!
What's that?
Come in the rock!
A woman. Out here on the prairie. There it is again. It's not the cry of wolves. What's this? What's this? A little shoe. A shoe with a silver buckle. Sure, if this was happening in the old country, I'd swear it was a leprechaun shoe and start looking for the pot of gold.
I trouble you, Flip Roth. It's you.
Be the piper that played before Moses. Am I daft? I thought I heard a voice speaking.
Oh, no, you did. I'm here, over here. You're gone in the frozen bush. Help me out.
A child. But your voice is old.
A child with this long white beard? And do these ancient clothes and shoemaker's boots mean nothing to you?
By faith and belief, you're a leprechaun. You've come to find O'Halloran's luck for me.
You're a man. Stop your silly talk and lift me out of here.
There. I've touched my leprechaun. Now then, where'll I find my pot of gold, worshipful leprechaun?
Pot of gold? And do you think I'd be freezing in this prairie if I had a pot of gold?
But your worship, by all the legends of Ireland, a leprechaun should show his mortal finder a pot of gold.
Look at me tattered clothes, O'Halloran, and these cheeks hollow with hunger, and stop bothering me about your pot of gold.
For here, get inside my coat.
Oh, thank you, O'Halloran. I know you're a Clonmelly man now. Be your kindness.
Tell me how you came to be here on the freezing prairie of America.
It is a sad story that befell me. I was lazy Brian. I hated work and lay abed with six tall harpists playing for me. St. Patrick laid a curse upon me for me laziness and changed me into a leprechaun. Until I served the servant of servants.
Serve the servant of servants?
It's centuries I've been looking, but never yet have I met the servant of a servant. Until I do, I'll never be free. But tell me, what are you planning to do with me?
You're a great responsibility. But since you asked for help, you must have it. Come, I'll take you back to the railroad camp.
A leprechaun in a railroad camp?
Well, let's see now. I could say you were my boy nephew Rory.
Nephew Rory? With this long beard?
I'll take care of that. Come back to the camp, the bunkhouse, and my razor. Hold still, Rory. Hold still, or this razor will be the end of you. There. Smooth as a baby. A few more strokes.
No.
Come on, be quiet now, will you? Be quiet before you wake the foreman.
What's this crying about, O'Halloran?
Good evening, O'Toole.
Hold that, would you?
A boy.
Oh, I see. But that face.
Aye, true. He's been sick. Crossing the prairie alone from the old country. And he's wanting work.
Work he wants.
Me? I never said
anything. Shut your mouth, Rory.
We're short of a water boy, O'Halloran.
And you'll sign him in, O'Toole? I'll watch out for him with the crew.
Bring him out in the morning. Now keep quiet. Good night.
Work? You Amadon. I told you I hate work. Despise it.
You heard me. Six back-breaking days of work each week, and on Sunday you wash your shirt.
Oh, never. Not me. It's not for work I came from Ireland, O'Halloran.
You'd rather be with the wolves, Rory?
Oh, no, not that. But
then
no,
drill, no. You terrier. Drill.
In a moment, James Hilton will return to present the second act of Stephen Vincent Benet's O'Halloran's Luck, starring Edmund O'Brien. How would you like to have one of America's foremost artists paint your Christmas card this Christmas? A card so unusual that your friends will show it to all who visit them during the holiday season. In this year's Gallery Artists series, Hallmark craftsmen working with 50 foremost artists have created a unique and exclusive collection of priceless art, from which you are invited to make your personal selection. Among the many to choose from are colorful winter scenes by Grandma Moses, the farm wife you read about in last week's copy of Life magazine, the one who became a famous painter when she was 76, and whose painting philosophy is, what's the use of making something to hang on the wall if it isn't pretty? This grand old lady of American art has had a lifetime of Christmas experiences in her beloved New England. And in these fine Hallmark cards, she recaptures the childhood excitement that most grown-ups only recall. The first winter snow, the steeple churches, the red barns, the horse-drawn sleighs. You'll find a variety of delightful Grandma Moses cards to choose from to have imprinted with your name or to purchase by the box for your personal signature. And remember, these are Hallmark cards. When your friends receive them and look on the back, as you did, they'll see the Hallmark and know you cared enough to send the very best. And now we return to James Hilton and Stephen Vincent Benet's O'Halloran's Luck, starring Edmund O'Brien.
Big Tim O'Halloran has left his sweetheart Kitty Malone in Boston to seek his fortune working on the railroad being built across the prairie. Instead of finding his luck, O'Halloran encounters a leprechaun who needs help. Shaving off the hungry leprechaun's long white beard, O'Halloran dresses him as a small boy, passes him off as his nephew, and gets him a job as a water boy.
This is what I like, riding on the rails, not building them.
Enjoy it while you can, Rory. The foreman's waiting for us out at the end of the line. We're to start the new section.
That's going to be misery, the new section.
Now, how do you know it's going to be misery?
Well, didn't I tell you? Those fools of surveyors laid out the new section of the line where there's hidden springs of water under the right of way.
What?
And when we start to dig in the road bed, there'll be the devil to pay.
And how do you know about the hidden springs, Rory?
And why wouldn't I know? Me, that for centuries has listened to the waters running underground.
True. A leprechaun can hear hidden water. But what shall we do?
Shift the new line half a mile to the west. And you'll strike a hard road bed.
Here we are, Rory. The new section.
All out and start clearing away at the brush. Come on, get him over on O'Halloran.
Could I have a word with you, O'Toole? It may save us some trouble.
Trouble? The only kind of trouble I know is the kind O'Halloran makes.
Now, in the new section we're starting, there's water, hidden springs under the right of way.
And I suppose you've got an ear of a leprechaun to know of such when the engineers have approved it themselves.
Mark my words, O'Toole, it's true. There are springs, and you'll do well by yourself telling the engineer.
I'll do just that. I'll tell him the great clod of an engineer, Tim O'Halloran, told me. Get your shovel into the dirt.
Sure you won't come along with us to the tavern, O'Halloran?
I've got to teach Rory his reading and writing, McGinnis.
Me?
Quiet. I'll slap the words into that thick head of yours.
Ready, McGinnis?
Good night, O'Halloran. You're getting too steady for good company.
What do you mean, telling them it's me you're teaching to read? It yourself is learning the words, O'Halloran.
Get to bed, you black-tongued rascal.
Now, what am I to do? Sit and watch you?
You could be thinking of the ways and means of carrying the steel rails faster and easier, like I asked.
All that? Nothing to it.
Oh, you're saying you know now?
Well, if the engineers would have the steel rails move faster, let them use two donkeys, one at each end. Two such beasts can carry five times the load of humans.
You know whereof you speak, Rory.
With me own eyes, didn't I see the donkeys fetch the great stones to the hills of Ireland centuries ago, when the castles were built for the kings?
Come in. O'Halloran, glad I caught you in.
I'm Claney, the engineer.
Aye.
The foreman told me about your saying our new section was surveyed over hidden springs. A clever work, O'Halloran. You saved the company a lot of time and money.
And they should be shown some gratitude.
Rory. Me little nephew, Rory, Mr. Claney.
Well, how do you do, sonny? O'Halloran, I want you to take over Gang 5 tomorrow.
Gang 5? Well, you mean...
That's right. You're a foreman from now on. I like a man that uses his head.
Say, can me nephew come with me? I have to look after him.
Well, he certainly can.
Thank you, sir. Uncle Tim? Why don't you tell Mr. Claney how you figured out the way to carry steel rails faster and easier?
That's something I want to hear. Go ahead, O'Halloran.
You torture an infidel. How can you sit there laughing when you know the memory of Kitty hangs like doom on me?
Quit your wailing and keening, O'Halloran. Just because Kitty's mother wrote you requesting that you do the family a great honor and stop writing Kitty letters.
Stop your laughing, you demon.
I'm laughing at a gun that had let a cold letter keep him from his love. A railroad man at that. A man with a new contract, with pay in his pocket and money in the bank.
By the piper. But you've hit it right, you queer little creature. It's back to Boston we go in the morning. I'm off to claim Kitty Malone for my wife. Mrs. Malone.
Tim O'Halloran. Malone, quick.
O'Halloran, what is it you want?
Kitty Malone, your daughter.
No, not that door. Please, her intended Mr. Boyle is in there.
Kitty, my darling Kitty.
Tim, they told me you were dead on the plains of the West.
And a great pity he was not.
Tim, please, don't hit him.
I saw him trying to squeeze your hand, Kitty. You're leaving, Boyle.
A bad penny turning up never made a Boyle run off, Mr. O'Halloran.
Please, gentlemen, this is my house.
Sorry, Mrs. Malone, but it'll all be quiet in a minute.
Oh, don't, Tim! Oh!
The police! I'll have the police here on you, Tim O'Halloran. You good-for-nothing laborer.
Now Mr. Boyle will never show his face again, never.
And he'd better not. The shame of you trying to give your daughter to a horse car conductor. When she might be marrying a future railroad president.
A railroad president?
Oh, Tim.
What's he to show for honest talk, I ask?
This, Mr. Malone, a new contract. And this bank book, I'm a railroad man.
I knew it, Tim. It's come. You've found O'Halloran's luck.
Perhaps you'd be more comfortable talking, you and Kitty, in the kitchen. I'll take care of Boyle.
If Mr. O'Halloran is staying for supper, he's more than welcome. Make a bit of tea for him, Kitty.
Tim, darling.
Kitty, I thought this day would never come.
Oh, hold me, Tim. Tell me everything that happened.
Love the West, Kitty. It's the commonplace.
Oh, don't stop, Tim. Keep talking. It's like a dream.
I've told you everything, Kitty, since the day I walked out of here 2 years ago. Everything.
You really found O'Halloran's luck. And by yourself. Who could that be? It's late.
Get me in. I'm hungry.
Oh, Kitty, darling. There's one thing I forgot to tell you.
Hey, open the door, O'Halloran. It's me. Uncle Tim, I've been shopping all over Boston.
Uncle Tim, who is this child?
Kitty, dear, I forgot to tell you, this is my nephew Rory that lives with me.
How do you do, Rory? Welcome to Boston. Won't you have a bit of cake?
Thank you, Kitty, I will. Have you made up your mind to marry me, Uncle Tim?
Hold your tongue, Rory.
Let the lad speak his mind. Yes, Rory, 'tis I that will be your aunt.
Ah, so now, isn't that good? I'm thinking you'll make a good home for us once you're used to me ways.
Rory.
Is that the way it's to be, Tim?
That's the way it's got to be, Kitty. Rory is my responsibility. But you're free to say you'll not have me.
Will you live with us, Rory? But we'd be glad to have you.
Kitty, you're sure?
Oh, of course you're sure. Thank you, Kitty Malone, O'Halloran to be. And you're lucky, O'Halloran. For had you denied me then, your luck would have left you. Now the luck will stick to both of you for the rest of your lives. And I'm wanting another piece of cake.
Queer lad you are. I'll fetch more cake.
I should break you into bits for speaking like that.
Huh? Your only nephew? Tell me now. Was your wife ever in domestic service?
What if she was? Who thinks the worse of that?
Oh, not I. For I've learned about mortal labor since coming to this country. It's a noble thing. Do you intend to serve this wife of yours and honor her through the days of your wedded life?
That is my intention. Why?
Then command me to tie your shoelace.
Tie my shoelace, you black-hearted, villainous anatomy.
The servant of servants. O'Halloran's lock is free, and I'm free.
Oh, I'm glad for you, Rory. And will you be going back to Ireland?
Oh, no, no. Ireland's a fine place, but this new country is bolder. A man's a better chance here. I'm off to the great mines of the West. Some other poor countryman of ours is out there seeking his luck. As you were, O'Halloran, I must go to help him.
Oh, there'll be a terrible space in my heart for you.
Good day, dear Tim.
Not goodbye. Oh, I've not the heart to bear it.
No, no. Tis not goodbye, Tim. When you christen your firstborn, I'll be at his cradle. And so with your son's sons and their sons. For O'Halloran's luck has just begun.
Where's Rory?
He's gone. O'Halloran's luck is found for keeps. Kitty, I forgot to tell you the strangest thing of all that happened to me while I was gone.
About Rory?
Aye, about Rory. It seems one night when I thought you'd gone forever, I was walking all alone down the prairie. That was my grandfather Tim's story of how he found his opportunity in the new world. When he became the president of the railroad, he named his private car the Leprechaun. For that matter, they say that when he took his business trips, a small boyish fellow would turn up from nowhere at some odd stop or other, and he'd be let into the car at once, while the great of the railroad world were kept waiting in the vestibule. And after a while, they say, sure they'd be singing from inside the car.
In a moment, James Hilton and Edmund O'Brien will return. But first, may I invite you again to see the new Hallmark Christmas cards, now on display at the Friendly Store where you buy Hallmark cards. If you prefer to select cards to individually fit each one on your list, you'll find a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. There are fascinating Hallmark albums from which to select cards for imprinting with your name. And there are the many boxes of assorted Hallmark cards to take care of last-minute additions. Yes, whatever your taste, whatever your budget, there are Hallmark cards you'll take special pride in sending. And remember, when your friends receive them and look on the back, as you did, they'll see the Hallmark and know you cared enough to send the very best. Now here again is James Hilton.
I think you ladies and gentlemen will agree with me that Mr. Edmund O'Brien did a splendid job as O'Halloran in Stephen Vincent Benet's O'Halloran's Luck. Mr. O'Brien, on behalf of all those who make Hallmark cards, I want to thank you and Dan O'Herlihy, who took the part of the Leprechaun, for treating us to such outstanding performances.
Thank you, Mr. Hilton. I like very much being here with you. You see, you people in the Hallmark Playhouse have set such high standards that you make it very attractive to be here. I might say, though, that your habit of doing things well doesn't surprise me. Not when I realize that Hallmark had the reputation for fine greeting cards long before there was radio.
We are happy indeed if you feel we're carrying on in the Hallmark tradition. And now that you've expressed yourself as liking the things that bear the Hallmark name, we think you'll like what we have in store next week, when we present our radio version of Mary O'Hara's memorable story, My Friend Flicker, starring the popular young motion picture actor and winner of a special Academy Award, Claude Jarman, Jr. Until next Thursday, then, this is James Hilton saying good night.
Tonight's story was adapted for radio by George Corey, with music composed and conducted by Lynn Murray. Our director-producer is Dee Engelbach. Edmund O'Brien will soon be seen in the Warner Brothers Technicolor production, Fighter Squadron. Look for Hallmark cards that are sold only in stores that have been carefully selected to give you expert and friendly service. Remember, Hallmark cards, when you care enough to send the very best. This is Frank Goss saying goodnight to you all until next week at the same time, when James Hilton returns to present Mary O'Hara's My Friend Flicker, starring Claude Jarman, Jr. This program came to you from the Hallmark Playhouse. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
This is Paulette Goddard.
George Raft.
George Tobias.
And Jack Carson.
The Gulf Screen Guild Theater. Presenting tonight, Torrid Zone. And here is your host, the director of the Star's own theater, Roger Pryor. Good evening, everyone. The Gulf Oil Companies and your neighborhood good Gulf dealers welcome you once again to the Gulf Screen Guild Theater. It's an unusually warm welcome tonight, for our play is that sizzling Warner Brothers comedy about two men and a girl in the tropics, Torrid Zone. Starred in Torrid Zone, you'll hear George Raft, Paulette Goddard, Jack Carson, and George Tobias. In just a moment, we'll take you to a little country in Central America where things happen and happen fast. But before we make that journey, I'd like to say a word about another country where big things are happening these days. Our own country. You know, Sunday is a traditional day of rest for Americans. Yet in many factories throughout the nation at this moment, men are working and machines are busy. For America has turned her mighty force from peace production to war production, so that peace may someday return to the world. In this tremendous effort, the nation's oil industry has an essential part to play. It must provide industry with fuels and lubricants to keep America's weapons rolling off the assembly lines in a steady, irresistible stream. It must supply the ships and tanks and planes as they go into battle. Gulf is contributing substantially to this, the nation's most important job. And Gulf was prepared for this effort, because for years, Gulf scientists and engineers have been constantly improving the fuels and lubricants needed for complex, modern machinery. That's also why Gulf is ready to carry on its other job, that of meeting its long-standing obligation to American car owners. So you may be sure that while Gulf will continue to play its part in filling the nation's needs, your family and other families who depend on their cars will always be able to get the finest available petroleum products from your good Gulf dealer at the sign of the Gulf Orange Disc.
Check, Roger. Ladies and gentlemen, in our play tonight, you will hear Paulette Goddard as Lee Donnelly, George Raft as Nick Butler, George Tobias as Rosario, Jack Carson as Steve Case, and Roger Pryor as Captain Rodriguez. Now, Oscar Bradley's Banana Plantation Serenaders raise the curtain on Torrid Zone.
Midday sun of the Torrid Zone beats down fiercely on the jail of the little Central American banana port of Puerto Aguilar. In adjoining cells are Lee Donnelly, a cafe entertainer from the state, and Rosario, the greatest bandit in all Central America. As our story opens, they're talking through the bars.
You've now learned the great American pastime called poker, and you owe me exactly $200.
All right, I pay you the very next time I raid Senor Casey's banana plantation, Senorita Donnelly.
Not in bananas, I hope. Say, look, seeing you owe me so much dough, why don't you just call me Lee?
Lee, that's a very funny name for a girl. Where you come from, eh?
Chicago, and I spent my last thin dime getting to this burg for a dancing job at the Hotel National.
Too bad.
But yesterday, that Steve Case, who seems to be the hot tamale around here, had me canned and thrown in this jug.
Why? Senor Case no like the way you shuffle your feet?
No, Senor Case no like the way I shuffle a deck.
Oh.
Yeah, I started a poker game with the boys, and he got sore just because I dealt a couple of cards off the bottom.
Oh, he do?
Yeah, can you imagine that? Say, what have they got you in here for, Rosie?
They say I am a bandito because they do not like Senor Case and the fruit company.
No kidding.
All I want to do is to take back what belongs to me and my friend. Case have me arrested just because I shoot him, man.
Out of season, huh? The stork that brought him must have been a vulture.
See. Ah! Look who's here, our jailer, Captain Rodriguez.
Hi, Roddy. How's chances of getting out of this lost and found department?
Silence, Senorita Card Sharper. Rosario, I have good news. You can stop the hunger strike.
Well, why?
Because no longer you have to worry about the eating. We are going to shoot you.
Say, if he can get out of here, so can I. Huh? Say, I was only kidding, General. I like it here.
Well, maybe it's just as good they're going to shoot me, Senorita. I was getting hungry anyway.
Oh, too bad, Palsy.
You have been very charming company on my last day here. Senorita, before I go, I give you this ring. Where I am going, I will not need it.
Afraid it'll melt?
Oh, maybe. Perhaps. Here, I give it to you. Adios, Senorita.
Thanks, and good shooting, Rosie. And if I ever get the chance, I'll sort that guy Case a good one for you.
Speaking not as your secretary, but as your friend, Mr. Case, I say don't you let Nick Butler take the boat back to the States.
Will you forget that chromium-plated heel? Nick Butler's not the only foreman in the world.
Well, he's the only one who can produce on Plantation 7. Oh, now look, Mr. Case. It really wasn't Nick's fault about that little Spanish number with the revolving eyes.
He's a gilt-edged chiseler. I love that dame. I think.
But didn't he warn you the girl was fickle?
He didn't have to prove it personally, did he? Don't ever mention his name to me again. The sooner that two-timing tramp gets out of Puerto Aguilar, the better I'll like it. Hello?
Mr. Case. I wish to report about the bandit, Rosario.
You shot him. Okay, that's the end of him.
No, Mr. Case. We did not shoot Rosario.
What? Why not?
He was rescued by his brave followers. What daring. What loyalty. What a bad break.
Well, isn't that just fine and dandy? What about the Donnelly dame? I suppose her mob ran down from Chicago and rescued her, too.
No, Mr. Case. The girl, she's on her way to the boat.
She'd better be. And you start looking for Rosario. Goodbye. That settles it. Sam?
Yes, Mr. Case.
Sam, get the drinks out. I'll be back in an hour with Nick Butler.
Say, will you stop pushing me up the gangplank of this boat?
Listen, sister, I'm captain of this banana scow, and I only take orders from Steve Case. He says you go back to the States, so get a move on.
Say, you shove me again, and you'll be wearing this suitcase for a necklace.
Come on.
Hey, wait a minute, wait a minute. Having trouble, babe?
Yeah, this monkey's pushing me around like a poker chip.
Listen, you stay out of this.
Pardon me, lady. Man overboard! Oh, hello, I'm Nick Butler, chairman of the shuffleboard committee. Can we count on you for our tournament?
Well, I'm afraid you play a little rough, but thanks.
Oh, I can always ease up for the ladies, Miss...
It's Donnelly, Lee Donnelly.
A pleasure.
Are you bound for the States, too?
Clear to the end of the line.
Nick!
You know, babe, I'm glad you're taking this trip for my health.
Nick!
You're
Nick!
All right, babe. I
think that man coming up the gangplank is trying to get your attention.
Baby, with you around, he hasn't a chance.
Oh, Nick!
Oh, well, I guess I'd better find my cabin. I'll see you later.
It's a date. Don't forget.
Nick!
Hello, Nick! Well, well, if it isn't the captain of the All-American Rat Team, Mr. Steve Case.
Nick, old boy, you're looking...
Yeah, well, that's not your fault. You know, sweetheart, I ought to belt you right in the puss for sending me down to that swamp.
No, Nick, that's no way to talk to your old pal.
Oh, don't waste that soft music on me, Jocko. You sent me down there hoping I'd get knocked off, just to get even with me for taking that Spanish doll of yours.
Oh, same old Nick, ain't you? Always ripping. But look, pal, let's both go to the office and talk this over. I'll buy you a drink.
Okay. I want to see you squirm when you pay for it.
Swell, Nick.
But listen, sweetheart. You can argue till you're black in the face. This boat sails at midnight and little Nicky goes with it.
But, Nick, look, you just can't take an office job in the States.
Huh?
You know you won't be happy away from here, Nicky. You need the fruit company, and the fruit company needs you. I need you, Nick. I do need you, boy. Rosario's loose again, and you're the only gink who can keep those bananas moving while that bum is on a rampage. Well, what do you say, Nicky?
Well?
Yeah?
Yes, I better be getting down to the boat.
Hey, Nick, wait, wait. You could use some money, couldn't you?
Sure, why?
I'll give you $1,000 bonus to move the fruit off of Plantation 7.
All right, how long do I have to stay?
2 weeks.
Well, when do I get the $1,000?
Well, $200 right now to bind the bargain, and the rest the first thing in the morning.
I've got an idea. I'm letting myself in for a 14-carat massage. Listen to your fancy and fancy talk, you know.
Well?
All right. It's a deal. Give me the $200.
Yeah, right here. Oh, by the way, your room is number 9.
What room?
At the hotel, Nicky. I reserved it for you this afternoon. And I had your baggage sent up there from the boat.
Why, you rat. You dirty double-crossing all right.
Thank me. Anything for a pal.
Now, where's the light? Hey, what goes on?
Don't shoot, mister.
Well, you're the first thief I ever met who spoke of soprano. Just stand where you are till I find the light switch. Well, what do you know?
Oh, hello.
It's
still Donnelly, Lee Donnelly. We met on the boat this afternoon.
Say, I must have made a big impression.
This is the first window I found unlocked.
You running away from something?
Only the whole police force. That guy Case wants to deport me back to the States.
You mean you don't want to go back?
Say, I got tired starving to death up there. It's the next boat for me, the one that's going to Rio. Look, all I have to do is to duck Mr. Case and his campfire boys until it sails. Then get pinched again just in time to be thrown aboard. Say, what about you? Aren't you sailing tonight?
Mm-hmm. I've changed my mind. I'm staying out for 2 weeks. I pull out for the plantation in the morning.
Oh, any chance of my going along?
Huh? Well, now look, honey, I like to take you, but a plantation's no place for a woman. You'd be better off in jail.
Not that jail. Even the cockroaches won't visit it on slumming parties.
Look, baby, I don't like to see a nice, understanding girl like you in a jam. I'll talk to Case himself in the morning, and you'll be treated all right. I'll tell him I'm an old, old friend of yours.
How old?
Old enough to know you real well. This well.
Hey, for the tropics, you work pretty fast, don't you?
Oh, I don't hold up traffic.
Well, don't get your signals mixed, mister. That light in my eye says stop.
Oh, pardon me for being colorblind. Say, that's a nice ring you got there.
You like it?
Sure. Used to have one just like it. Lost it in a brawl to a guy named Rosario. Oh, I always liked my ring. Best I ever had. Tell you what I'll do. I'll cut the cards for your ring. If I win, the ring's mine. If you win, I'll give you $20.
Oh, no, I don't want to gamble. If you like the ring, you can have it.
Look, sweetheart, if I want to cut cards for it, what do you got to say?
Okay, mister, you asked for it.
A one-eyed jack.
A red king.
What, again? Well, that cleans me out. Baby, you sure took my $200 for a fast ride.
Well, I guess I'm just lucky. You know, beginner's luck.
Yeah, who is it?
Me, Case.
Say, this is where I came in.
Quick, baby, out the window, down the fire escape. I'll hold them off till you get away.
Say, thanks. You're something to remember me by.
Hey, open up!
That's a real forget-me-not.
So long, handsome.
So long, babe. Hurry up.
Nick, hey, what's the matter? You dead?
I'm coming.
Hello, Nick.
Oh, what's the idea? Wake me up in the middle of the night. What do you want?
A girl.
Well, what are you looking at me for? Yeah.
Listen, have you seen a girl?
Oh, what kind of a girl?
A dame. A dame that was being deported and she jumped the boat.
Oh, why don't you deport somebody your own size?
I won't deport her. I'll have her shot.
Oh, is this all you got to do is chase a poor innocent girl around?
Innocent? Innocent? Well, that dame's the cleverest card cheat that ever hit this town.
So what? Is that any reason? What did you say?
She's a card sharper.
Why, that double-crossing little... Come on.
What?
What are we waiting for? Do you want that dame to get away? Just wait till I get my hands on her. You're not going to shoot her. I am.
just as curtain falls on the first act of Torrid Zone. We'll resume our story in just a moment. Meanwhile, we've some information you'll want to hear. It's about the tires on your automobile.
Today, car owners are doing everything they can do to make their tires and equipment last as long as possible. For example, to get the most mileage out of their tires, motorists are cutting down speed, avoiding sudden starts and stops, trying not to hit curbs when they park. And that is also why so many of you are making the Good Gulf dealer your headquarters in your own car conservation program. For instance, be sure to let the Gulf man check the air pressure in your tires, because correctly inflated tires may give as much as 5,000 to 10,000 more miles of service. Have the Gulf man cross-switch your tires on the wheels at the 3,000-mile mark. And let him help prolong the life of your battery, too, by checking the water level regularly. In addition to little services like these, there's Gulflex registered lubrication, available only at Gulf stations. Gulflexing guards vital points in the chassis against wear, helps keep your entire car looking younger. Yes, to save your car, its tires, and other equipment, remember to stop regularly at the sign of the Gulf Orange Disc.
And now the curtain of the Gulf Screen Guild Theater is ready to rise on the second act of tonight's play, Torrid Zone. Starring George Raft as Nick Butler, Paulette Goddard as Lee Donnelly, Jack Carson as Steve Case, and George Tobias as Rosario, the greatest bandit in all Central America. Next afternoon, Rosario is still at large, and Nick and Steve's search for the attractive card sharper Lee Donnelly has been fruitless. Nick has just stepped off the train at the plantation to take over his managerial duties as Wally Schaffer, one of the foremen, approaches.
Hiya, Wally.
Hiya, Nick. Welcome back to number 7.
Oh, I never thought I'd have to see this banana garden again. How many men you got working? I promised Case I'd double up production.
Well, we're short-handed, Nick. 20 of the boys took a run-out party in the night.
If you're in Rosario, eh?
That guy loose again?
Yeah, so keep your eyes open. Charlie!
Yeah, Nick?
Keep steam up in that engine. We're rolling back to Puerto Aguilar sometime tonight with a load.
Okay.
Case is going to have to buy a new boiler. I wonder how long it took us to crawl down here this morning.
$6.31.
Yeah, that's just about what I thought. The first, hey, who said that?
It wasn't me. It sounded like it come from that fruit car.
Come on out of there. Hurry up.
Hello. A girl.
No, a dame. Come on, sister, jump down. So you copped a hitch, eh?
Yeah, the engineer happened to be going my way. Are you glad to see me?
I sure am. Come on. Fork over that dough.
What are you talking about?
The 200 bucks you clipped me for last night.
Say, I never tagged you for a bad loser, handsome.
No, well, I never tagged you for a phony shuffle. Come on, hand it over.
I haven't got it.
Do I have to flip you upside down and shake it out of you?
Now, look, I just...
Okay, sweetheart, hand it over.
All right, Samson. Here, let me go. I'll give it to you.
Thanks.
Here.
Now, listen. If you think you're going to use this plantation as a hideout, you're daffy.
You're not going to ship me back to the clink.
I sure am, sister, on the train tonight.
Oh, why don't you give me a break? Have you ever been in that flea trap?
No, I always deal my cards off the top.
Oh, listen, Nick. What's that?
It's a raid. Rosario, get inside.
Get inside yourself.
You hear me?
Oh. Nick! Oh. What's the matter? Nick!
Be careful, will you?
Say, do you want this bullet hole fixed, or do you want gangrene to set in?
Oh, take it easy, baby. That's my shoulder you're fooling with.
What's the matter with you? Don't you know enough to duck when you see one of Rosario's bullets coming? There. How's that?
Oh, swell. You know, you'd be a pretty good guy if you weren't around so much at the wrong time.
Well, what would be your idea of the right time?
Any time after I get back to the States. Why don't you look me up in Chicago?
Where did you dream up the Chicago business? Who do you think you're kidding?
I'm not kidding. I'm heading out of here in 2 weeks.
But you don't belong in Chicago. You belong right here.
You're nuts.
Oh, you love it here. The excitement. Well, you even love fighting with Case. You'll never be happy anywhere else.
Well, never mind about me. I suppose you're a flat bloke.
Yeah, why?
That 200 bucks, though. I wasn't sore about losing it. I just hate to be taken for a sucker. Here, you may need it.
Hmm.
Oh, come on. Nick. Listen, take it now. Go on. Your train's waiting. Beat it.
But, Nick,
Yeah, what do you want, Wally?
I got Rosario. He's tied up in the supply shed.
Oh, good, good. That's great. What about his gang? Did they get away with anything?
Only some canned stuff in the train.
Oh, well, we can't kick about... The what?
The train. They stole our train.
Well?
It
looks as though Florence Nightingale stays among the bananas. I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you look it. Okay, sister. Come on, hand it over.
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about. Since you've got to stick around here, you can hand back my $200.
Hey, Rosario.
Eh?
Shh, it's me, your old jailmate.
Senorita Don.
Yeah.
Come in. They tie my hands. The door is no lock.
Ah, Senorita, I'm so glad to see you. You are not mad with me.
No, why should I be?
Because I have not paid you back the $200 I owe you from the jail.
Oh, forget it, Rosie.
Always just before I am killed, you come into my life. It must be fate.
No, Rosie, it's just that I wanted to look at a guy who ought to feel worse than I do.
Senorita, you don't feel so good.
No, I don't feel so good.
Too bad I'm locked up or you could come away with me, huh? I would teach you how to forget your trouble.
Rosie, let's not spoil our beautiful friendship.
Confidentially, as a ladies man, I have not had a complaint in all Central America.
Well, just keep on pitching and you may get a tryout in the big league. I should be handing out advice to the lovelorn.
Oh, some man has jilted you.
The formal expression is jilted, Rosie. And you can't be jilted if you don't ever get a tumble.
You mean Senor Butler, maybe, perhaps?
Yeah, and no maybe, perhaps, about it.
Senorita, I cannot understand it. There is an all-native proverb. Beautiful horses always love mules.
Well, I guess I was just born a dope, Rosie. By the way, thanks for shooting Nick the other night.
Oh, it was nothing.
I've been taking care of the bullet wound for the last 2 days, and a couple of times he almost kissed me.
Oh, well, maybe tomorrow or the next day.
No, not a chance. Word just came through that Steve Case is on his way down here, and that'll be my finish.
Senorita, you have hit your head on the nail. It will be the finish for both of us.
Oh, Rosario, what am I going to do?
Do not worry, Senorita. I, Rosario, the greatest bandito in all Central America, will give the problem of Senor Case the benefit of my personal attention.
Hey, where is everybody? Is this a banana plantation or a rest home? Hey, you, what's your name?
I'm Wally, Mr. Case.
Where's Nick Butler?
In there, Mr. Case. He's asleep.
Asleep? Yeah. Well, I'll fix that. Boy, that no good. Good morning, dearie. Would you like your breakfast served in bed? Get out of there. Come on, Nick. Get up. Get up.
Let go of my blanket and scram out of here, you wet-footed weasel.
What are you doing, rehearsing for that soft Chicago job?
Well, haven't you got eyes, you moron? Can't you see this bandage on my shoulder?
Got hit by a bottle, huh?
I was shot, you lunatic, by Rosario.
Don't make me laugh.
Well, he's tied up in the storehouse. How do you like that?
Well, I don't want bandits. I sent you down here to pick bananas. I don't know why I ever trusted a man who spends half his life in bed.
That settles it. I quit. I'm going back to town.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute, baby. You're talking wild.
Yeah, you still owe me $800 on that $1,000 bonus you promised. Come on, give it to me.
What? What gall? Listen, you chiseler, you quit. I don't owe you anything. But look, Nicky, if you stay...
Nothing doing. I'm getting out of here right now.
All right. Run away. Forget friendship. Leave me in the soup. But let me tell you, Nicky, everything you're throwing in that suitcase is breaking my heart.
Yeah, well, shed a few tears over these socks and these shirts and this underwear, Jocko.
Oh, Nick, now, please, look, listen to reason.
Hello, Nick. I hear the Mad Emperor's arrived.
Well, as I live and breathe, Miss Donnelly.
Oh, hello.
Well, now I'm beginning to see things. No wonder you haven't got time to pick bananas, Nick.
Huh?
Couldn't expect you to concentrate on my business and a dame at the same time.
Now you listen to me, Kate.
You know she's a fugitive from justice? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn you over to the police for harboring her.
Ah, don't make me laugh. You can't hold me with that one.
Huh? No. No, I guess you're right, Nicky. Well, I know when I'm beaten. You go on back to Chicago and good luck to you.
Now, that's a very touching speech, Mr. Case. We'll think of it when we're on the boat.
Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Donnelly, but you're not going on the boat.
Oh, yeah? What are you trying to pull now?
Well, you see, Nicky, she accidentally hit a sailor with a wrench the night she jumped the boat.
What?
Poor fella, he has a 4-inch crack in his head. He's liable to check out any time.
Oh, but listen, all I said...
I know you didn't mean to do it, but you can't laugh off a cracked skull. I'm sorry.
But it was an accident case.
Nicky, look, this isn't your problem. Just because this poor, friendless girl is in a jam, that's no reason why you shouldn't go to Chicago. I'll do the best I can to take...
Hello.
Hello, Rosario. As I was saying, I'll do the best I... What? Rosario? What are you doing here? What is this?
This is the putting up of the hat.
I thought they said they had you tied up, lawn drawers.
A pleasant surprise, no? Now, senor, you see, the tables are inside out.
Yeah. Hey, Nick, here's that $800 I owe you.
I thought it would take something like this to get it out of you.
I will take that. Thank you very much. Here, Miss Donnelly, is the $200 I owe you. The rest I save for a rainstorm.
Listen, Rosario, what do you think you're going to do?
To you, Senor Butler, nothing. And you know why? Because this beautiful girl, she loves you. Why, I do not know, but she says she do.
Come on, get down to business. What do you want?
I want to make things good for this girl. You, Senor Case, want to put her in jail, so I shoot you.
Don't try to bluff me, Rosario.
I don't bluff you. I only shoot you.
Now, listen, Rosie, you'll never get your land back this way.
I never get it back anyway, but I shoot him just for fun. Senor Case, you will please get ready to die.
Hey, listen, Rosario, just give me a few days to learn my prayers.
Look out behind you, Rosario.
Get him, Nick! Hang on, old Nick!
Look out!
Don't let him get away!
Don't just stand there, you big baboon. Go out on that porch and help Nick. You want Rosario to kill him?
Nick can handle him, all right. Now, shut up and listen to me. Are you in love with Nick?
Sure, I am.
You want him?
Yes, okay.
Well, I want him, too. He belongs here in this plantation. Now, lie down on the couch and start groaning.
Hey, what's the
idea?
Hold
on, you start groaning. Hold this handkerchief to your side, quick.
Say, I don't trust you. What about that sailor?
That was just a gag. Will you start groaning? Here comes Nick.
Oh.
Because slip that out of my hands and beat it.
Hey. Oh.
Hey, Lee, what's the matter, baby? You hurt?
Yeah. Hurt bad, Nick. That wild bullet from Rosario's gun got her in the side.
It did?
Yeah. Nick, you can't leave her now. You got to stay with her until I can move her to the jail.
Well, listen, Case, if I stay for good, could you fix it so she wouldn't have to go back to jail?
Yes, under the circumstances, I think I could fix it for your sake.
All right, it's a deal. I'll stay.
That's the boy, Nick. I knew you'd come through. I'll go right into town and draw up a new contract, and I'll send out a doctor. So long.
Oh.
Lee, baby, how do you feel? Well, let's see where you got hit.
No. It's too serious for first aid treatment. And, oh, thanks for staying, Nick. It would be terrible to be here sick without you.
It would, huh?
Get up off that couch, you phony.
Hey, what's the idea of dumping me on the floor?
I want to lie down.
But I'm wounded.
With what? There was only one bullet fired, and I caught that right in my wrist.
Oh, Nick, darling.
Well, I'm not going to die, baby.
Oh, Nick, I don't know what to say.
Hey, turn off the tears. And don't stand there. Get some water, some bandages, and some iodine.
Yes, Nick.
Wait a minute. Huh? Come on. Hand it over, baby.
Who are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about. Hand over my $200 you just got from Rosario. Congratulations to Paulette Goddard, George Raff, George Tobias, and Jack Carson for their sizzling performances in Torrid Zone. And our thanks to John Green and Charles Taswell for their radio adaptation. And now, ladies and gentlemen, before we leave our story completely for tonight, there's one more little scene we'd like to bring you. Rosario, the greatest bandit in all Central America, is back in jail again. We discover him talking to Captain Rodriguez.
My old friend, Captain Rodriguez, you bring me my dinner.
No dinner tonight, Rosario. We are going to shoot you. It's bad for you to die on a full stomach.
All the time I come to your jail and all the time you kill me. I tell you, Captain Rodriguez, I am sick of this. I have decided I will not be killed anymore. At least not till next Monday.
And why will you not be killed until next Monday?
Because I must hear the Gulf Screen Guild Theater program next Sunday night. They are presenting that wonderful RKO comedy, Bachelor Mother, starring Henry Fonda and Charles Coburn, my favorite actor.
Enough with the men, Rosario. Who is the woman?
It is Lorraine Day. That's who the woman is.
Lorraine Day?
Then it is settled. We will both listen.
Well, there are a couple of really loyal fans of our program.
And seriously, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you too will tune in next Sunday night to the Gulf Screen Guild Theater presentation of Bachelor Mother, starring Henry Fonda, Lorraine Day, and Charles Coburn. It'll be one of the most hilarious stories we've ever presented. Our music will be by Oscar Bradley, assisted by Frank Tours. Till next week, then, this is Roger Pryor speaking for your neighborhood good Gulf dealers and saying, good night, everyone.
Americans, listen. Admiral Yamamoto, commander of the Japanese Navy, has boasted, "I shall not be content merely to capture Guam and the Philippines and occupy Hawaii and San Francisco. I shall also look forward to dictating peace to the United States in the White House." And 72 million Japanese back up his boast. Americans, give them your answer. Buy more defense bonds and stamps. Every dime, every dollar increases the fighting strength of your country, brings nearer the defeat of the enemy. So buy defense bonds and stamps and do your part to win the war. Bud Heaston speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from the Hallmark Playhouse, Screen Guild Theater, past episodes of this podcast, all the others, and thousands of other old-time radio episodes, and a shoutcast stream, all at relicradio.com. If you'd like to help support the whole thing, visit donate.relicradio.com or click on one of the links while you're on the website. Your support makes it all happen, has for 15 years. Thanks to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Be back next Tuesday with another hour of the Relic Radio Show.